Well, I want to particularly look at this Ephesians passage again today. We've been spent the last few weeks looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians and bringing out some interesting points. He begins with this verse, "I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And there were a couple of things that reminded me as I was reading this reading and one of the questions in the quiz that I was at on Wednesday. They reminded me of a film I haven't seen for many years, but it's a film that's probably in one of my top 10 films. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's called The Blues Brothers. Has anyone seen that? You may not have come across it, but there's one particular point where there's two brothers whose surname is Blues, hence the name. But they're also into blues music as well. It's a song that's kind of punctuated by a lot of rhythm and blues music, which is probably why I enjoy it. But there's one scene at the beginning of near the beginning of the film. One of the brothers has come out of prison. The other one has picked his brother up, and they're trying to work out what they're called to do. And it's basically to see what's going to happen for the rest of the movie, really. And they're really not quite sure what they need to do. So they decide to go to church. And they walk into this church, they walk into the back, and they kind of hide at the back, and they're stood next to the back wall, really. They couldn't be, you know, as far away as possible from anything that's going on. It's a Pentecostal church, just to give you a scene. So there's a lot of singing and dancing going on. The choir, just like ours, are kind of, you know, swinging from side to side, and all of that. And then the preacher steps up. Now, it's a Hollywood movie, so the preacher happens to be James Brown, the Godfather of Soul. Do we know James Brown? So he steps up, and he's, you know, his preacher it goes on. After every line, there's a great shout of amen from the congregation, and there's a bit of music going on as well. And these two, the Blues Brothers, have stood at the back thinking, you know, what on earth are we here? And then the music starts playing, and then suddenly there's this beam, shaft of sunlight comes through the window at the end of the church and shines right on Jake, the one who's just come out of prison. And he stands there, and as that light's like illuminating him, the preacher, James Brown, says, "Can you see the light?" And I wish he's preaching it to everyone, but Jake is thinking, right, this is all suddenly, you know, showing me exactly what to do. And so as the light shines on him, as the preacher says, "Can you see the light?" he turns to his brother, he says, "I know exactly what we've got to do." And then he flip-flaps and cartwheels down the aisle and joins in the dancing. And it's one of those times that when I've spoken to people who've sort of said, you know, "I don't know where God's calling me or what God wants me to do. I wish I'd just get a blinding light and it would just tell me." And maybe a booming voice would be quite helpful as well, that says, you know, "This is the way you must go in it." And that's what I began to think about as I read this passage and was, you know, hearing the words that Paul speaks. Paul obviously knows that blinding light on the road to Damascus. He, you know, it knocked him down, and he got the booming voice as well, and knew exactly how he needed to get what he needed to do next. Although it was a case of God leading him bit by bit, if you recall the story. So what is God calling us to do? How can we know what God is calling us? How can we live this life worthy of the calling we've received if we're not quite sure what calling we have received? Well, the first place to start thinking about calling, I think, is that actually God has called each one of us at our baptism. If we've been baptized, then there is a call then to live a new life. It doesn't necessarily be a blinding shaft of light. It would be a bit of an event, wouldn't it, if I was holding on to a child or something, or at the back there, and suddenly this shaft of light came in. But there is a light. There's a candle lit, and as we light the candle at baptism, we talk about shining as a light for Christ. And Justin Welby, our Archbishop, puts the baptismal call that is for each of us in this way. He says, "We're all called at our baptism to live a life in all its fullness and represent Christ in the world." We talked a bit about that fullness last week. And that's a call for each one of us. So we've all got that call straight away. But then I think Paul is then speaking into more specific calls. And someone put it this way: when there's a specific call put on our life, it's that God puts something in our heart or in our mind or in our hands and calls us to use that in some way. I like that thought, that actually God puts something in our heart, in our mind or in our hands and asks us to use it in some way. I think of Moses when he was called and the way that he argued with God about his call. He wasn't sure. And there's this great to and fro. And then at one point God says, what have you got in your hand, Moses? And he's got the staff. And God says, "That's I'm going to use you and I'm going to use that staff to bring freedom to his people." So when it comes to this specific call, this passage in Ephesians 4 is a real go-to passage for church leaders, particularly as they recall this list, the gifts that God gives. And there's it's known as the fivefold list of gifts within the church. Paul lists them: apostle and prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And we might look through those and think, well, which one, you know, might we be called into? But actually, he does a different list in 1 Corinthians 12 that I think it's worth looking at as well. It overlaps, but explores other areas as well. So I don't think this is an exhaustive list. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have a list that begins with apostles and prophets. And then Paul talks about teachers. He talks about the gift of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of helping, the gift of administration. That is a really important gift, isn't it? And I wouldn't want to miss out on that one. And the gift of tongues. And so I think, as I say, I don't think any of these lists are exhaustive, but they're Paul's trying to point out that there are specific gifts that are given, specific calls that are made, where God puts that particular something in our heart, our mind, or in our hands. And thinking about this, I've got three T's. It's always a good sermon if it's got 3 points, and if they begin with the same letter as well, then apparently that makes them even more memorable. So I don't often, usually I tend to pick 1 point, but I've got three T's that are linking in with a call: timing, training, and teaming. So timing, what's the timing of a call? Is there a particular time of the day or of our lives when God might call us? Well, I think it's pretty clear through Scripture that God can put a call on our lives at any age or any stage. No one's too young or too old to have a specific call placed on them. We think of John the Baptist while he was still in the womb. Samuel. A classic story of a young boy in the temple hearing the voice of God. We think of Mary as a probably a teenager called to carry the Son of God. David was just a teenager probably when he slayed the Goliath, the giant. We look at the disciples as God called them. They were probably in their late teens, maybe early 20s. Some of them may have been a little bit older, but certainly not much of an age. But then we see the prophets, Elijah and Elisha. They were already grown up and working in the world of work when they're called to become prophets. And then we get to Abraham. Was he 90 or something? And then 99 when he was about to be a father of many nations. So there's no excuses. even Abraham, no, not Abraham, I mentioned him. Moses was 80, apparently, when he had that conversation with the burning bush and was given that a specific call by God to lead the people. So any age, any stage. And also the other thing about timing of a call is sometimes a call is for a specific time, I think, and sometimes for a much longer period. We think of those who appear in the Bible just for a short time. Simon of Cyrene just happened to be there as Jesus came past with the cross and was called out of the crowd to carry the cross just for that time. Or Joseph of Arimathea, there's loads of myths around him, and he was Jesus' uncle, and he took him to Cornwall or wherever it was, and to Glastonbury, but I'm not sure about that. But he was there at the time and had that freshly cut tomb that he offered that Jesus could be buried in. He features just in that short time. And then there's the likes of John or Peter or Paul, whose call goes on and on. I'm not comparing myself with any of these guys, but for me it was a call into teaching and for a time. And then at about 26, 27, I've been playing wheels on the bus at the school for quite a while. And God said, no, you've got to go and, you know, do something in the... Well, I say God said, no, I didn't hear a voice. But I just felt in the church I was part of, I wanted to be involved in their little band that they had every so often. God had put the guitar in my hand, I suppose. And then when I got to about 40, I began to think, actually, I think God's calling me into something else. I need to knock on a few doors. And actually what I did as I went to college, I laid the guitar down. I said, look, if it's meant to be that I'm not doing that now, doing something new, then I'll do that. But I seem to have kept picking it up everywhere I go. Sometimes we carry on with those things. And the call comes and it's into a new area. So timing is one thing. Training is the next thing. I love that phrase, that God doesn't necessarily call the equipped, but he equips the called. And the reason for that, I think, is when he calls us and we don't feel quite ready, it means we rely on him. If he calls us and we feel totally ready for something, then we're going to kind of forget about him and do it in our own strength, and that's not good for any of us. We need to draw on him. If it's his call, if it's his mission he sent us on, we need to draw on the strength from him. We need to draw on that knowledge of his love, that fullness of his love that we spoke about last week. And training is important as well. Sometimes we think of our gifts, I've got my props, don't worry. Sometimes we think of God's gifts as a bit like minstrels. And if we keep eating them, at some point, they're going to run out. Oh, I should just say, my eldest son, this was part of his gift to Carrie and I for our wedding anniversary. I say part of his gift, it was a quarter. We had four bags of minstrels. He knows we tend to sit and watch a movie and empty a bag of minstrels while watching. So that's, he asked me to mention that. But anyway, back to the sermon. Sometimes we can look at God's gifts and think, I don't want to use them all up at once. So we'll just, one at a time, otherwise they might run out. But actually, I want to say today that God's gifts work more like muscles rather than minstrels. There's another bit of alliteration. This isn't mine, I should say. It's my son's. It doesn't come out very often, actually. In fact, I think it just comes out for sermon illustrations now. But he bought it in the expectation he was going to pump blocks of iron up in his room. But I think he tends to use the mouse and go on his computer instead. But anyway, God's gifts to us are like muscles. We can build them up. We can train them. The more we use them, they don't disappear like the minstrels. They get bigger and they grow. And that's something I think we need to remember. I'm not going to do that for too long, so I won't be able to lift anything up. But I might hang on to it, because it's quite fun, if I can manage to hold my book as well. But where are we? So yeah, it's important to develop our gifts. Muscles, not minstrels. Think of the parable of the talents. And those that were encouraged, those that were valued by the ruler, by the king or whoever he was, were those who put their talents to good work. Who used them and they multiplied. So that's training. Timing, training. And I'm going to keep hold of this because teaming, my third T, is about teaming up and about being the body of Christ together. This is what Paul was writing to those Ephesians. He wanted them to understand, just as we've sort of seen coming through earlier on in the letter, that they are all one in Christ. They're all one. And he uses the word one a number of times in that passage. To say they're one together and they're one body. Yes, they might all have different gifts, but they can use them all, and they use them all to become the body of Christ. I love this. We're bodybuilders. Did you know that? We're all bodybuilders. We're Christ's bodybuilders. Have you seen the link there? Oh, I was so happy when I thought of that one earlier on. Sorry, this is not all about me, but I was having a moment. We're Christ bodybuilders. There you go, you can go home and tell people, I'm a bodybuilder, we're building the body of Christ. He's our head, he leads us on, he gives us energy and strength and inspiration. He builds us up in his love. But we are part of his body as we use the gifts we are given. So, timing, training, and teaming. We're all to be Christ's body, and in order to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. That's what Paul is encouraging us, and that's what I would encourage each one of us, to test the call. Sometimes we think we're called to something, and we need to test it. It's good to try things out. It's good to talk to other people as well. And also, we can challenge one another. We might see a call in someone else that they haven't seen. So I encourage us all to just be mindful of the different calls that there are, sometimes into different areas of church ministry and sometimes into the wider ministry. But above all, we need to heed Paul's words, to lead a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Let's pray now. I'll put the weight down. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that first call that's placed on our lives at our baptism. To live a life of fullness, to live a life that knows the fullness of your love. And Lord, it's going to take the whole of our lives to explore that out and to represent Christ in the world. Lord, we do pray also for the specific gifts you're putting on each one of us. Maybe we've explored those in the past, but Lord, don't let us forget that you might still call us into something new, wherever we're at, whatever we're up to. You might put something new in our heart, put something new on our mind, put something new in our hand, and ask us to use that too. So we pray even now, as we meet in this place, as we share your body and blood, and think about the sacrifice that you made and the victory you won, we pray that you would move our hearts and minds to think about all that we can do to serve you and all that we can do to build up your body in this place and beyond. And may we forever see Christ as our head, Christ as our light, Christ leading us on. In Jesus' name, amen.